So, this is the first Vaad, official Vaad, coming into Wintersman, right? We call it Chorivsman. And winter is, it's a long Zman, right? We just had a nice break, a little extended, over Sukkot. And the next big break like that, hopefully, is scheduled for Pesach. Hopefully in between we won't have, you know, we won't be having any big, big breaks. So Pesach is basically 4.5 months away. That's a long amount of time. And if you add to the equation the fact that we're dealing with the Zman, which in a world which is so, you know, dangerous, volatile, we never know what could be. You know, we don't know what's going to be without Shabbosim. I was brought up the other day in the meeting. I'm not even sure exactly what's going to be for Hanukkah. So it could mean that we're going to be seeing each other a lot for the next few months. We are here, quote unquote, stuck here in Yeshiva. So on the one hand, I think the average reaction of a nice bacher is, oh my gosh, I'm going to be stuck here for the next 4.5 months. Yikes. But what I would like to present tonight is really what the opportunity of this time in Yeshiva is. This being the biggest stretch of time of Azman, from Sukkot to Pesach, that's also probably the greatest opportunity for growth, to really grab Chap, Baba Kama, both in Ian and the Kiev, big stretch of time. And you know, a lot of the Hatzlacha that the Talmud walk away with at the end of the Zman will be telling what happens in the next few months. So the Haskalah, the beginning of the Zman, is so important. And if we embrace it, if we understand it in the best possible way, so hopefully that will be a means that we can get the most out of the Zman. That's the goal that we want to talk about tonight. Not to be overwhelmed by the fact that we have a big Zman ahead of us, but don't forget, it's an amazing opportunity. Adarava, Lashon HaRashba. All right, that we're going to take it and capitalize to the best of our ability. Now, hit me in preparing for this Vaad. I try to prepare a little bit ahead of time, think about it, and sit in it. So hit me a simple Daher. You know, over Ben Azmanim, some of the chevra here in Yeshiva came up with a project, right? It seems like it's already the Masorah here in Miami for guys to run projects for Chizuk, this branch and other branches. So they came up with a learning project where I think to qualify for the Big Adolim pictures, a guy had to learn like 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 45 minutes a day over Ben Azmanim. Now, they didn't ask me about it. They did, but they didn't. But, like, now, this is, the guys doing this here, really, on the shoulders of the guys who did it the years before, and the years before, they didn't ask me either. 2 hours and 45 minutes, I think it's a lot of time. So much so, I think a lot of people who didn't do it, those who did it, not to open my mind, but those who didn't do it, like, when you hear that number, 2.5 hours, the day of Ben Azmanim, wow, that sounds like a lot to do. Really sounds like a lot. And okay, Baruch Hashem, there's, you know, Yechidei Segula and Yeshiva that did it, but 2.5 hours a day of Ben Azmanim? You know, the Lakewood program, you know, for Bachrim that, you know, some guy in Lakewood came up with, you know, his starting point was 1/2 hour a day. I have to think that's a little on the lower side, but I think they got a pretty good picture of where Bachurim are at these days. And to sit and learn 2.5 hours over Ben Azmanim sounds wild. But here's my simple tehillim. Is now we started this month. We do easily, hopefully more than that, 2.5 hours a day, morning Seder, 2.5 hours a day, afternoon Seder, 2.5 hours a day, night Seder, Semer Shlomo, Sedrei Shlomo, Zachal. That same thing in Bein HaZmanim, 2.5 hours a day, which is so like out of reach, some people think of. Not only are we doing that in Zman 2.5 hours a day, we're doing that like 3 times a day. Plus. What's chat? How come the same thing, which over Bein HaZman 2.5 hours sounds like a crazy amount of time to learn, now all of a sudden Zman started, so now we can do it? So the simple answer, some of you guys would say, okay, Rebbe, I'll tell you the chiluk, because Bein HaZmanim, there's so much going on. So to carve out 2.5 hours of the day is hard to do. But now that we're in yeshiva, we have nothing else to do, it's okay, 2.5 hours a day, I could do a few times, 3 times a day. But I don't think that's a good terrence. Neither is Meir. I think it's a bad terrence. I don't think that's really the pshat. It's not because there's so much to do. Trust me, you know, guys have what to do during this month too, if they so want it. And not everybody has something doing every moment of the man's mind. They don't have time to carve out. You know, how many hours does it sit till the family figures out what they're doing for Chol Moed plans, especially in New York where everything's closed because of COVID. Right? Okay, so you can do a protest at night, but what are you doing during the day? So, I think the answer lies, why is it that all of a sudden now this month started, and that same idea of learning 2.5 hours, I could do it once, twice, 3 times a day. What changed? I think the Iker answer is title of tonight's lot, because now it's Seder. Seder itself, one of the essence points of a yeshiva. Of course, a yeshiva is led by Rebbeim, and Rebbeim have a big hashpah in yeshiva. Obviously, the Talmidim in yeshiva, both the older and the younger, have a tremendous hashpah in the yeshiva. So yeshiva is Rebbeim, yeshiva is Talmidim, Chavrusas. But there's something unique or really universal. The concept of Sidrei Yeshiva, that yeshiva has Siddurim, that Seder pushes a person, okay, I have a job to do. I got to come to Seder. Now it's Seder. Now I have to learn. Bein HaZmanim, I couldn't do 2.5 hours. Crazy. But now that it's Seder, it's a different story. It's my job. It's what I have to do. Seder is what you call a hechrach. It pushes you. It's a responsibility that, okay, now that's something I have to do. And it's a very, very powerful force in helping a person grow. That's what Seder is. And what I'd like to spend some time on tonight is firstly understanding the concept of what Seder is doing for us. I think it's the answer of what makes us, what helps us sit and learn for such long patches of time. It's because it's part of Seder. But to understand it, what it does, and hopefully end off with some practical etzas, how to make our time in Seder better. Now, it's interesting. You look through, many svarim, the basic concepts of Siddharm, 3 Siddharm a day, is pretty much universal. There are some nuances of difference. You know, some yeshivas, you know, they invented more of a newer thing. You have Ian, you have Ian Kal, you have the Kiev. You know, we have what to say what those Siddharm are called. Ian Kal, Ian Morkal. the kids. But, you know, we have, you know, a morning Seder, Ian, an afternoon Seder, Bekias, and a night Seder, more Bekias. That's how we do Saddam. But every you know, standard yeshiva has three Saddam a day. That's universal. You know, a yeshiva that has really only first, you know, one Seder, that's not really, it's not a full-time yeshiva. Right? A guy who's doing yeshiva just in the morning, and, you know, in the afternoon, doing college, at night, you know, that's, you know, part-time yeshiva. And, you know, to those who, that's where they're up to in life, matov v'manai, but it's not the same. And maybe we'll expand and explain why. But basically, all yeshivas have siddurim. They have three siddurim. Okay, we can hack the exact times and this. Some yeshivas have, you know, a very long afternoon Seder that goes, you know, to 7 o'clock at night. Some go to 7:30. The Mir in Brooklyn has this famous, like, four-hour Seder that, you know, Shmuel Birnbaum never would leave Seder to be Mitzvah Kedusha, and every wedding had to be extra late in the Mir in Brooklyn because Shmuel wouldn't leave till the end of second Seder. And, okay, so you could have nuances. You hear it in yeshiva, we tinkered and we hacked about different aspects of Seder. But I think an important hashkafa, which is a general hashkafa, I remember hearing in my years in yeshiva, is really the first and foremost job that a person should do is focus his energies on Seder. There are a lot of guys that they want to do Seder, and they also want to do extra learning, send the programs, outside of Seder, and this. It's all good, matov v'manoy. But the Iker focus should always be Seder. And I'll tell you a story. One of you guys is going to go hawk about Ruben about the story. He's not going to remember it. But I heard it from the guy who had changed his life. Years ago, a friend of mine told me that it was a big masmid. He was learning a lot. But he realized at some point he felt his learning. He felt burnt out. He felt like during Seder, it wasn't going. The afternoon Seder is like... And he decided to discuss with Rabbi Ruben and listen to this pichos. It's amazing. He told him, look, he's learned this, and all of a sudden, you know, he's running through a rut. You know, he found himself bottling so much during second Seder. So, you know, probably one response to him would tell him, okay, you should learn Binyan Olam, Torah Sabayis, right? Learn about Nefesh HaChayim, learn about, you know, the Torah. Maybe someone will tell him, you should change your Harusa, blame on the other guy. Right, Luben's advice was neither of the two. Don't learn about Hasmada. It's not your Harusa's fault. Right, Luben asked him, how much time are you learning outside of Seder? Like, I told him, well, I learned this, I learned that. Right, Luben's like, how about you scale that back and come back to me? And the Maya said, that's what he did. He scaled back time he was learning outside of Seder. And he figured out, all of a sudden, it was much easier for him to learn during Seder. And his need that he felt to schmooze and bottle and this and that wasn't there anymore. Right? Luban's chab was kochas nefesh, a person. A person thinks, you know, oh, I could do this, I could do that, I'm Superman. Yeah, until our body, our psyche, pushes back sometimes. So he realized that that was going on with this guy. And Taka, the guy scaled back his out of Siddharam activities, learning, sometimes his activities too. But all of a sudden, that made it that he was much more settled during Seder and was able to learn Seder better. And that's the Iker. People should realize, you should put your kochos first and foremost into the Sidrei HaYeshiva. Davening Seder, Mishabur Seder, Hakana, Morning Seder, Moser Seder, Afternoon Seder, Night Seder. A person puts his kochos into Seder, that's first and foremost. That's the way, you know, a person becomes a shalom. And, of course, look, as a person grows in learning, there's time to learn outside of Siddharam. But you should always know what the Iker is and what the Tafel is. The etzem growth a person has is through the Sidrei HaYeshiva. Now, what did the Sidrei Yeshiva do? So, I want to bring a little bit here from this week's parsha. All right, Ruben's also famous. Shmuzim. This week's parsha, you have Noach building the Teva. He basically spent 120 years building the Teva and telling people a flood's coming. Don't you believe me? A flood's going to come. They all laughed at him. But he kept on doing it. Now, part of the reason Noah did that, Hashem set that up, Lagabi the people, was to get them through tshuva. But in terms of Noah, why did Hashem put him in that situation? It was 120 years of him working on himself. 120 years of building up that Animam b'muna shlema, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to me, there's going to be a mabul, and I'm here to warn the world about it. And he mamish spent 120 years every time he nailed in another piece of wood to his teva, he was inculcating in himself, a mabul's coming. 120 years. We know there's a concept, and it's a big concept, Musa of Regilus, that when a person does something time and time again, it becomes second nature. There are some midos that we have we're born with, but there are many other midos that we have that we gain through repeating them again and again. The same way a guy wants to become, fit, wants to be a bodybuilder. It's okay. Day after day, you do your routine, you work out. I'm missing some of the guys, right? Speaking of bodybuilders. So you do it day in and day out. So that makes you stronger. What happens if you take off a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? My gosh, I'm so flabby. Most people can't tell the difference, but the person who's into it, my gosh, I can't take a break for that long. Because regilus, by doing something time and time again, it makes an impact in the person of how strong he is. The same thing is true with midas. The more you inculcate a midah, the more you get up on time for shachris, the more you're able to focus and learning, that helps a person get that midah better. So Noach should have been one of the greatest ma'aminim, because he had 120 years of Musar Seder to work on it. Yet the pasuk says, "Vayavo Noach al teva b'nei mi ha'mabel." Noach came to the teva because of the mabel. Af Noach miktani emunah haya. Rashi says Noach was lacking in emunah. He was miktani emunah. Ma'imin ve'ino ma'imin. He believed but didn't fully believe. Sheyavo ha'mabel. Well, nichnas l'teva at shidoch l'mayim. He only came into the teva once the waters pushed him in. And all the Bali, mostly Rashiva, many others, all point out that means even though Noach, Tani Amuna is a harsh thing to say about him, but it can't be that he didn't have any Amuna. Noach had tremendous Madrigas in Amuna. What it means is relative to what he should have had, he was missing. He learned and he learned, but it didn't reach the level of giving him enough regilas, enough second nature and emuna, that he still didn't fully believe a mabul's coming. He spent 120 years of his life working on that every day, Musar Seder, Chovos Alvavos, Shar HaEmuna. But that wasn't enough for him. It didn't reach the boiling point for him. For him, when faced with Nisayim to come into the Teva, he was still challenged. So I believe what you see from here is it's so important when a person gets used to doing something. You could do it, you could do it, you could do it, but sometimes if you pull up short, you didn't break through. Perhaps the difference. Now you have a guy, let's say a guy sits and learns, moment he left high school, he decides to go to a one Seder a day yeshiva. And he does that, let's say, even for a few years. But, this is the Havana, what's the difference between a three Seder yeshiva and a one Seder yeshiva? A one Seder yeshiva gets you only this far. A three Seder yeshiva gets you, it's not just two extra Seder, it could be tenfold, it could be a hundredfold. because you're getting regilos, not just learning every morning, which again, don't get me wrong, it's a wonderful accomplishment, but it's not the same thing as learning every morning, every afternoon, and every night. It's a greater regilos. And we can't just say, okay, you know what, I did enough. I learned morning Seder. Noach, that was his mistake. He didn't do enough. He stopped short at some point. And the Mela, he didn't have enough emuna energy to get into that teva without the added push in naming Armada. And thus, Rashi has a time on him. Chazal has a time on him. So when we dehair what Seder means is, now I'll get to it in a moment. I don't mean therefore, oh my gosh, you have to stay every minute of the Seder, and if you miss a moment, it's over. I can't say that. Every person, ish kafi dargasa. But the concept of learning three siddurim a day is because less than that, you're only going to get so far. Your regilos, you're being accustomed to learning, you know, only takes you so far. You'll be accustomed to learning good morning Seder, which is a wonderful thing. But that's not learning this full day. And the effects of learning more and more is a big deal. Speaking of the famous Chazal, Chaim Shmulevitz of the Shmuz, Chazanish, they quote the same thing, that the famous Maisa of Rabbi Akiva, that after learning for 14 years, came home, and his wife overheard his wife saying, you know what, I wouldn't mind if he learns for another, instead of 14 years. The famous Maya says Rabbi Akiva didn't go inside to say Shalom Aleichem. He turned around and went right back. So everyone has the kasha. Why did Rabbi Akiva do that? Why don't he first go and say hello? I meant 12. Right? It was 12 years. He goes equivalent to the amount of Talmidim. So he did 12 years and didn't go into his house. That's not so pashut, understanding kofas nefesh, how that makes sense. I remember the Rashid gave a whole shmooze trying to understand, you know, that step Lagabe, his wife, how could he not go in? But the Chazanish's line and the Chayash Shlomo's line was 12 plus 12 doesn't equal 24. Where there's a hefsek, where there's something that's taken away, a morning Seder plus a morning Seder plus a morning Seder doesn't mean I learned three Siddurim. Definitely not three siddurim a day. Sort of like Wichos Negichos, Kirov Negichos. Right? It's mash the whole figure. What makes a regilus? Right? Maybe it's Dafkin one day and makes a regilus. Can't spread it out to different days. So that's, I think, an important concept, knowing what Seder is. Seder is something. I couldn't do 2.5 hours. I got definitely scared away from 2.5 hours for Ben Azmanim. But now during Zman, 2.5 hours times 3, bring it on. Seder is a hechrach. And what that Seder does is Seder makes you into a different person. It tries to build within a person a regilos of being able to focus and concentrate and learning. And doing it less than that would leave you with less regilos. So what? I'll show you what so what. That's what happened by Noah. And there's another extent of how this goes. There's a Medrash Tanchuma in this week's Parsha, which is a spooky Medrash. I remember hearing this Medrash quoted many times. One of the times I heard it, I was in Eretz Yisrael. I went to, it was eerie for me too. I went back to Rav Nosson Tzvi's house, and I was a bacher in Eretz Yisrael. I used to go 2 years about straight. I missed a week or two. But 2 years, I was always by Rav Nosson Tzvi's table for his weekly shmooze Friday afternoon in his house. So I was back in Eretz Yisrael, summer's mine. So I found out that his son, Blaise Yudel, was giving a shmooze in the house, his parents' house. So I went. So he happened to be that week, it was an old Dvarim. But he happened to say over this Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash says, I'll show you in a moment why it's dear to Yeshiva's mirror. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Klal Yisrael, so the Sochach Torah Shebal Peh. Mipilim Pizaram, Atzokor Adoras. That Torah never be forgotten throughout all the generations. Quotes the Pasuk, when he says briefly, Lefika Kol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shtei Yeshivas LeYisrael. The Medrash itself is saying, there's only two yeshivas in the world. Shia Hogim B'Torah Yom V'Layla, which is the other one. Right? Shia Hogim B'Torah Yom V'Layla. Two yeshivas learning day and night. And they get involved in Melchemta Shel Torah. V'Osim Beis Yeshivas V'Lo Shvi V'Lo Shmad V'Lo Shlo V'Lo Sholat V'Hem V'Lo Yavon V'Lo Edom. They didn't have any attacks from the government, any problems. Hashem took those yeshivas out from before the churban. And they sat and learned in Bavel from that time until today. So there's a concept, this medrash is saying, an amazing medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu preserved. I don't know if it means, it's a medrash that might be a little bit open to interpretation, but there's a medrash that says that there are two yeshivas from the beginning of time through the Churban, that yeshiva, whether it's an exact yeshiva, Masora, but a certain derech in learning, that preserved despite all the struggles that Jews have through the Gulf. And even the Mosa Mashiach, Chas Hashem, they wouldn't see any Chevel Osha Mashiach. So Halacha Maisa, there's a story here on the bottom, that Bechatzko Levenstein was the Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva through Shanghai, and the Yeshiva had a shiloh of what to do. Should they remain in Shanghai where they just recently came, or should they possibly travel to a different spot? It wasn't Pasha, there was pandemics going on in China then. And I wasn't sure, should they stay or should they go? And Reb Chatzkel Paskin, based on this medrash, that look, he knew what was going on in Europe. All of a sudden, people were being killed, yeshivas being wiped out. And Reb Chatzkel understood, I don't know if this is Reb HaKodesh or his Tam Havana, Chatzkel was a great Adam Gadol. He understood that the Mir Yeshiva was carrying this torch of this Medrash Tanhuma. They were one of the yeshivas. And he had a shayla, okay, should they move to a different spot? As Mamash HaShayla, Sakonis Lefashis. And Reb Chatzkel Paskin, it's right there in the bottom, that look, if we're going to have to travel, there'll be a certain Batara until we set up shop. He says, we're carrying the Achrayas of Klal Yisrael. We're the yeshiva. Seems like he relied on this haftacha that we'll be okay. And he kept the yeshiva there, and taka, they were okay. And they were the Mir Yeshiva, is the one known yeshiva that didn't stop from Europe through Shanghai. Now in Eretz Yisrael, they actually saw a video, you know, of the challenges they had, you know, in Elul and Eretz Yisrael. They went up to in Gedi, well, Pascha, Yeshiva in Israel. That's why Blazer Yiddel said over the shmooze in his house. It was so meaningful. This is what he heard, the Mesorah from Rebbe Chatzkel, what the Yeshiva is. Now, I think in general, what you see from this Medrash is the importance, and especially the story, the importance of nonstop learning. Klal Yisrael, in a global sense, needs a yeshiva that keeps on learning. It needs a yeshiva that learns without a hefsek. Doesn't mean 24/7. That's not what it means. But it means that's able to preserve a Masorah from generation to generation to generation without being stopped. Because that Masorah is obviously going to be a stronger Masorah than some yeshiva that stops and a new place restarts, this and that. There's a lot lost that way. Klal Yisrael, there's a haftach on this medrash that there should be two yeshivas from the beginning of time, Ad Chevle Mashiach, that will be able to emerge unscathed intact. Because the point of not having a hefsek, of keeping it going, is so important. It's a different Masorah. It's a different Torah. And that's how everyone should view, on a smaller scale, their own Torah. That look, what I could gain from being part of Seder, day in and day out, is that Seder, it's going to be more than an amount of time. But every morning, every afternoon, every night Seder, if I do that consistently, day in and day out, that's going to make me a better person. There's a famous Rambam. The Rambam talks about the importance of night Seder, that Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, that a person who doesn't, you know, forsake one night becomes a different person. The guy every night Seder, luckily you don't have that over here in Miami, is running to one chasna, another chasna. They say that's actually one of the milos of Corona, is people could actually sit and learn at night. You don't have weddings. Okay, sometimes you have ofras. But you have this and that. A certain focus a person could have. Sidra yeshiva are so important for bringing up that focus. Now, practically, how do we maximize our siddur? So I think I have a few simple etzahs. One etzah, which I hope to expand on in the coming weeks, perhaps with some incentives, is a person should first and foremost make sure, whenever Seder begins, to be there at the beginning of Seder. Whether it's the beginning of morning Seder, being there for the beginning of the Kiyas Seder, beginning of night Seder, to be there for the beginning. Anytime you start off slow, you start off, you know, now look, once in a while something happens, dinner's bad, you gotta order. Okay, it happens. But on a consistent basis, try to be there every day at the beginning of Seder. That's one big way to help maximize Seder. Always be makbid. I'm going to be there at the beginning of Seder. Same way like a job. You know, Bez Hashem, guys will have opportunities in life and jobs. You know, there are many bosses. The person does not show up on time. That's like the most irresponsible thing. You know, there's stories, you know, in yeshivas, Avigdor Miller would stand there by the door in Chaim Berlin, checking, you know, someone comes late, you know, send them out. No excuses. In Tiferes Yisrael, there was a Rebbe in this matter, she would lock the door for sure. I'm not talking when I was a bacher in yeshiva, when I was a Rebbe in yeshiva. First year base medrash Rebbe would lock the door, and you didn't make it on time for sure, you're not getting in. Lisa, there's something to it. Start off the Seder, come on time. I'm not advocating for us to do it. Anyone knows anything about me, my door swings open and shut 25 times every share. Ain't me. I don't do that. But the next thing, I think is very important, simple Eitza, is try to learn for a stretch. Try to learn for a stretch. Meaning that, okay, so you got the first Eitza, I'm there on time. What's even the other? I'm not on time. But try very much, okay, I'm going to learn for the next 15 minutes. Okay, whatever your capacity to do it. Try to learn for a straight amount of time. Nice yeshivish new buzzword is for tzifas. Learn consecutively. And just take that time and learn. Look, if a guy sometimes, you know, say this too long, that's okay, to take a break. But don't take breaks every 5 minutes. Try to learn for a stretch. Learn for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour. Figure out how much endurance you could have and stay straight. And then take a break. Don't make your learning back and forth. I'm learning, then I'm schmoozing, I'm learning, I'm schmoozing. That's a killer. The way to be able to learn in Seder is to learn in stretches. And I'll end with an amazing story, which I know personally. As a guy I know, publicly I won't say the name, even though it could be anyone. But the guy I knew back in the day, he was a good basketball player. I played together with him on the team in high school. What I remember about him is he didn't spend too much time in yeshiva. He was on the street a lot, not in yeshiva. He went to Eretz Yisrael for a year, one of these places, not much changed. And he was in camp, he happened to go to camp Manovel, Allah Shal. He was actually drafted to be on the basketball team. And in camp Manovel, they had a very chosh of a yid, a guy with David Kfiat, famous author of the Sukkot David. And he was there, he didn't learn in camp. And this counselor, one summer, decided to strike up a conversation toward the end of the summer. He didn't know what he was doing, went to Eretz Yisrael for a year. He didn't know what to do. So he decided to ask the Kfiat, who was always sitting there and learning, told him his dilemma. And told him, look, I can't learn. I can't, you know, I have no zitzvash. You know, he's playing basketball all day. He's quite a good player. But, can't do it. So listen to the advice of the Kfiat gave him. He told him exactly the answer we just said. He says, how long do you think you can learn straight? 10 minutes. 15 minutes. He says, learn 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then take a break. Then come back again, and then learn 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and take a break. And slowly build up how much you could learn straight. This guy, Mamish, could not sit in his chair. He took the David Kfiat's advice. He did it. He went back to learn. I think he went back to Eretz Yisrael. And he took his advice and did exactly that. I didn't see this guy for years. The next time I saw him, Nachman's son, I was in New York, was by David Kfiat. I saw this guy. I knew him. He was slim, he was lefty. Mom should thread the needle. No one could stop him. Tough guy, skinny guy. I saw him. I didn't recognize him. Big yeshivish guy. I couldn't recognize him. I was like, whoa! I'll say at a Levaya for someone who was very close to him coming in, like with tears in his eyes. To David Kfiat's Levaya. But my son, David Kfiat's advice, the Sukkot David's advice, changed his life. This person today is a Mechaber of multiple Sfarim. He's a Rebbe somewhere in Lakewood. And Lamaisi is able to learn more than 10 minutes at a time. But he's the Rebbe giving advice to Talmidim. Take it 10 minutes at a time. When a person slowly does and learns consecutively, time and time, it builds up, it makes you a different person. And Bezus Hashem, if we appreciate what Seder does, changes our whole perspective, it's something, the consecutive learning is something which we need on a global scale for Klal Yisrael, but on an individual scale to become a greater person, a Ben Torah, Bezus Hashem, a Talmid Chacham. And we come on time to Seder, we learn stretches, however much we could stretch ourselves, that will make it, the Ezus Hashem, that we'll go through a long stretch from Sukkot to Pesach, but we'll appreciate the stretch, we'll appreciate the fact that we could stretch ourselves out and do more than we thought in the beginning of Zman that we're able to do. Thank you very much for listening.